does is it sets up peer networks all over the world, your own computer if you give permission. And all these blockchain items are instantly searchable, and they can't be changed by anybody except the author. And then, you know, the search algorithms, there need to be more than one. Because social media is a bad thing, as far as I can tell, in its net effects. But the instant availability of information should be a blessing. It's just that it's screened now. And that's what that Supreme Court case is about, right? The government is telling them what to publish, and they're doing it.
And the Louisiana judge said stop, because that is forbidden for the government to take a side and silence a Jay Bhattacharya or a Larry Arnn or anybody. But the back to the peril of Britain is like the peril of the United States. And he just wanted to shake them awake. And it didn't really work, did it, Dr. Arnn, until it was upon them?
So this is I actually read these chapters as a example of excellent functioning in a government. Not functioning well enough to prevent this madness, but I think that's lies in the will of Germany, what couldn't be prevented.
Correct.
But just think of that. Churchill reports a conversation where, and see, what was it like? You know, you say they talked to each other. Well, you know, Churchill was a very captivating talker, very forceful, very compelling. And he started talking about all this stuff, and the next thing you know, Asquith puts Churchill in the Admiralty to run the Navy.
He talked himself into a job.
He did.
And he didn't even know he was doing it.
And he replaced a man named Reginald McKenna, who was a very good man and who was later very helpful to Churchill when he was Chancellor of the Exchequer. And McKenna was a splendid person. And Churchill implies that he was sad to leave. And he did it so correctly. Well, that was very skillful operation of the government. And Asquith had, in my opinion, a fine hour there.
He was awake. His cabinet is divided. And he began to move around the people who were not warlike, but ready for war, or ready to prepare for war, into positions where they mattered that they'd be ready. I mean, Churchill, I didn't know about the naval staff. I didn't know that Great Britain didn't have a naval staff.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
And, you know, the way he Churchill writes about it, it is partly a rhetorical thing. He wants to assure the Navy that because they're the proud toad of all the world's militaries, right?
Yep.
They're dominant for 400 years. He wants to assuage them, but also he wants thinking going on, right? And he doesn't want to replace the commander. He wants to inform or help the commander be informed. And, you know, they had some massive adjustments to make. We'll talk some about Jackie Fisher, who had, you know, shook the Navy by its throat and converted it to... there were two huge steps in the transformation of the British Navy from its 19th century dominance. One was all big guns. That means big old ships and no ship that didn't have the same array of big guns could stand up against any ship like that. And Britain had the biggest navy. It made it all obsolete. And then the second thing was Churchill converted the navy to oil burning, which is much more efficient. But the trouble was, Britain has huge reserves of coal and not known to have oil.
It's a ton of oil. When we come back next week, we're going to talk about what he did when he landed on the beach at the Admiralty. Go get the World Crisis, Chapter 4 next week, and we will continue. Chapter 4 is called Admiral's Hall. I feel like that's got my name written on it. Thank you, Dr. Larry Arnn, all things Hillsdale at hillsdale.edu. All of the dialogue, including the first four in this series, at iTunes under Hillsdale Dialogues. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Dwayne. Thank you, Harley. I'll be back next week on the next Hugh Hewitt Show.
But you absolutely, positively need the truth. This is where you turn. This is the Hugh Hewitt Show.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time. Within 3 days of starting it, I noticed a big difference in my energy level. Like, I was able to take the dog for a walk to the mailbox. It made a tremendous difference, and I don't take daily naps anymore. I can pin it down to 3 full days on, and on the 4th day, it was like I was a new person. Even my friends have noticed my energy level is different.
Start your journey to better health with Balance of Nature. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com to get 35% off your first preferred order. That's 1-800-246-8751. Go to balanceofnature.com or call 1-800-246-8751 and get this special offer by using discount code Q.
This is the Hugh Hewitt Show.
Hey, Chuck, I saw on CNN that over 40% of the American population can't cover a $400 emergency expense. Is that true?
The bad news? Yes, 100% true. The good news? This is exactly the group of folks we welcome every day at Dollar Loan Center. I can't tell you how many times I've told the critics of our industry to simply walk into a bank and try to borrow a couple thousand dollars. Most banks won't even take your application, Craig. We get it at Dollar Loan Center. We're here for you, the real people in Nevada who run into a pinch every now and then.
That was Chuck. And to celebrate 25 years in business, he's offering free loans to all new customers. No fee to apply and a week of free interest. We have over 50 locations. Apply over the phone or online at don'tbebroke.com. Don't forget, your first loan is free in 2023 at the DLC.
Free loan means if you pay off your loan in 1 week or less, the interest is free. You are still required to repay the principal amount. Licensed by Nevada Financial Institutions Division. Customer must meet the normal loan qualifications. To review loan qualifications, visit us at don'tbebroke.com. Certain limitations may apply. Loans are subject to approval.
Live from the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa Studios.
From the world-famous Las Vegas Strip.
AM 670 KMCQ, Las Vegas.
Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Extreme dangerous heat and stormy weather. Close to 60% of the U.S. population under a heat advisory and or a flood watch today.
The World Meteorological Organization calls this July the hottest month on record. In Arizona, monsoon rains brought a bit of a break, but record-breaking heat will persist in the Southwest and Midwest. And high temperatures in the Mid-Atlantic and parts of the Northeast will continue into the weekend. With high heat in most of the nation's big cities, power grids are under stress. The National Weather Service says the heat can be dangerous. Meteorologist Tom Frieders urges residents to take precautions.
Limit your exposure to the heat, take frequent breaks in cool areas and air conditioning, and really stay hydrated.
The Weather Service says severe thunderstorms and flash floods are possible for parts of the Northeast, New England, and the South, including South Florida. I'm Jennifer King.
Consumer prices rose 3% last month compared to a year earlier. That's according to the Commerce Department. At the same time, consumer spending remains strong, rising 0.5% from May to June. Three men, they had been convicted in a post-9/11 terrorism sting, have been ordered released from prison.
They were three-quarters of the Newburgh Four, accused of plotting to shoot down planes at the Air National Guard base in Newburgh, New York, and blow up synagogues in the Bronx. That's where they were arrested, allegedly planting bombs that were, in fact, packed with inert explosives supplied by the FBI. U.S. District Judge Colleen McMahon cut the 25-year mandatory minimum sentences she imposed in 2011 to time served plus 90 days. She decried the FBI's role in radicalizing the men, calling them hapless, easily manipulated, petty criminals. I'm Ben Thomas.
Following yesterday's losses, Wall Street may be on the road to recovery today. Right now, the Dow futures up 154 points. NASDAQ futures ahead 159. More on these stories, townhall.com.
Yeah. And it's Prager here. Sue and I mean it when we say dogs are part of our family, and there's nothing like their loyal companionship. So we provide them with Rough Greens, R-U-F-F, because we want them to feel healthy and be with us as long as possible. I know Charlie Kirk feels the same way.
The Pragers and I couldn't agree more. I rely on my trusted furry friend, Mr. Briggs, who's an absolute machine, and he relies on me to provide what's best for him. Naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black has packed Rough Greens, not a dog food, but a supplement full of vitamins, minerals, digestive enzymes, and omega oils that Mr. Briggs absolutely needs and loves. Trying Rough Greens for your dog just makes sense.
Greetings, naturopathy Dr. Dennis Black here. I'm honored that the Pragers and Charlie trust their dog's health to Rough Green. I'm so confident that Rough Green can help your dog too. then I'm offering you a free Jumpstart trial bag. Just cover the shipping. Yes, dog food is dead food, but it doesn't have to be. Go to RU.
This is your KMZQ News Flash. The former local basketball star involved in a fatal crash in 2020 has been sentenced. Last month, Zion Collins pleaded guilty to a felony charge of reckless driving resulting in death or substantial bodily harm and a misdemeanor count of vehicular manslaughter for the crash that killed 52-year-old Eric Echeverria. The former UNLV basketball recruit reached a plea deal with prosecutors that included a 3-month jail sentence on the manslaughter charge, which he's already begun to serve. He also received 3 years of probation for the felony. The judge ordered the 21-year-old to complete 100 hours of community service, pay a $3,500 fine, and subject to alcohol monitoring and mental health treatment. Chief Deputy DA Eric Bauman said that complications in the case, including the state's changed marijuana law, led to the plea deal. Collins was initially facing a DUI charge, accused of being under the influence of marijuana at the time of the crash at Fort Apache and Blue Diamond on December 30, 2020. An original member of a legendary rock band has passed away. Randy Meisner, who co-founded the Eagles, died on Wednesday evening of complications from chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. The bassist and vocalist who sang lead on the ballad Take It to the Limit was 77 years old. Mega Millions is approaching $1 billion. After more than 3 months of not paying off the top prize, the jackpot has swelled to $910 million ahead of tonight's drawing. The Las Vegas Aviators were serving up $2 beer last night at the ballpark. It was game 3 of a 6-game series against the Sugar Land Space Cowboys. The Oakland A's AAA affiliate built an early 5-0 lead, but it wouldn't hold as they lost to the Houston Astros minor league affiliate 10-7. Same two teams get back after it all weekend long. First pitch tonight, 7:05 at Las Vegas Ballpark. Clear skies, hot temperatures today will stay a few degrees below 110 today and tomorrow. Some relief on the horizon, though, as the forecast calls for double-digit highs early next week. With your KMZQ News Flash, I'm Mark Thomas on AM 670 KMZQ.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few years ago, a friend invited me for an evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Now, Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes. Boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's had been there for over 3 decades and family-owned for over 20 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. And I love their food. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including seafood, steaks, burgers, pastas, and 5 daily specials. And their kitchen is open 24 hours a day for you late-night foodies. What do I like best about Ichabod's? Their old-school Vegas atmosphere. Their bartenders and servers are super friendly. When everyone else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers. And you'll love their nightly entertainment at the piano bar. You want to win? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
It's KMZQ Traffic, brought to you by Findlay Chevrolet, located on 215 and South Rainbow, home of the...
Looking good early on our Valley freeways. There are no accidents to report. Got a pretty serious one, though, in the Southwest Valley. Motorcyclist down, intersection of Jones and Russell Road. That's right in the middle of that intersection. We're going to steer clear of Russell and Jones for now. I'm Mark Thomas with your on-time traffic.
Here is just some of the bold agenda that I'll immediately implement when we become the 47th President of the United States. Before I even arrive at the Oval Office, shortly after I win the presidency because of you, I will have the horrible war between Russia and Ukraine settled. I'll get it done in 24 hours. I know them both very well. I am the only candidate who can make this promise, and the promise is I will prevent World War III. Nobody else is going to be able to do it.
I'm the king of the world!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It is live and local for a Friday, July 28th, our first Friday officially in the new time slot, 6 to 9 a.m. Start your day the right way.
Yeah, that's what we do each and every day. And one thing we do on Fridays, we do something that's a little special. No matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on in our state or our community, we make sure that we celebrate what I like to call the best day of the week. Here we go. Buckle up.
Oh, man. What day is it?
It's Friday.
Friday.
Wall to wall. It's Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Friday.
Wall to wall.
It's Friday.
Friday.
What day is it?
Come on, you know better. You know better. It's Friday. It's the day that we let our hair down. We have a little fun. We try not to take ourselves too seriously. Great to have you on this Friday edition, this first live and local on a Friday in the new time slot. I'm so excited. Another week, another set of polls, all showing that Donald Trump is getting stronger, not weaker. More charges being thrown at the former president. Donald J. Trump just doesn't know what it is to lose. And a guy that can analyze all of this for us is Mark Lauder. He is the chief communication officer for the America First Policy Institute. He's a former special assistant to the president of the United States under Donald J. Trump. Mark, first of all, great to have you on, and I'm glad we're having you on our first week in our new time slot. It's really cool.
Good morning. Early morning for you.
Early morning for me, and I absolutely love it. Sunrise is so incredibly beautiful here. What do you make of what's going on out there? We got another set of polls. The latest has the former president at 54%. What in God's name is going on?
Well, I mean, I think it's just a one-horse race right now. The margin, of victory going. When you look at what's going on in our country, whether it's the, you know, the economy, gas prices, grocery prices, the southern border, the war in Iraq, the war in Ukraine, nothing is going right. Everything that Joe Biden touches is just a complete and utter failure, and people want the policies that worked brought back.
Are you surprised at the American people who I think have figured this out? In my own world, I get all these investigations jumbled, and I think the American people are doing the same thing, and they're just ignoring them. It's like all this stuff, all this prosecutor stuff, special prosecutor, special counsel, that it's all white noise to a lot of the American people. What do you make of that?
Yeah, to a certain extent, I think that's going to be right, and that's why, when we get down to the general election next year, at this time next summer, I think they're pretty much going to go, look, Trump faces charges. Biden should be facing charges. They all had classes. Who's going to deal with the issues that matter to me? And you got Joe Biden out there, you know, and his radical allies that are telling moms that they have no business knowing what's going on in their kids' schools, and that teachers' unions and administrators should be able to hide from mom and dad what they're talking about to their young children in their school, or whether it's the gas prices or the groceries. I mean, all of that matters, and I think all of this other stuff, to your point, is going to be white noise, and it's going to be like, you know what, I'm over it. Just somebody deal with the issues of crime that I want dealt with.
Maybe you can help us. We've had all kinds of talk out here that we're going to get one of the debates. Have you heard that as well? And is that something you believe to be true?
I haven't talked to anybody about that specifically. Obviously, I know they're going to be moving the debates around. It wouldn't surprise me to see you get one of the debates, because I honestly believe that Nevada is going to be one of those states that flips and goes into the column for Donald Trump. Or our eventual nominee, because as you and I have talked about so many times, Kevin, you know, you guys are on the front lines. When the economy starts going south, you're one of the first people to feel it.
No, you're right. You're right. Mark Lotter joining us. For those of you that don't know, he is the Chief Communications Officer for the America First Policy Institute, a former special assistant to President Donald J. Trump. Let me just ask you, I don't know how much you got to watch of the coverage of the Hunter Biden court appearance. It was so bizarre, so incredibly bizarre, and so different whether you were watching Fox or Newsmax or whether you were watching CNN or MSNBC. What did you make of what was just a bizarre day in that courthouse in Delaware?
Well, first off, I think it was horrible for Biden Incorporated because the legacy media actually had to talk about this. They had to talk about all of Hunter's shady business dealings and how it relates to the family. And they've been trying to hide that for years, and now they're being forced to talk about it. And I said it on Newsmax on Wednesday night after all of that coverage that it wouldn't surprise me if the deep state changed the subject. And what did they do the very next day? They indicted Donald Trump for something else on classified documents because they have to change the narrative. And when you look at Hunter's business partner is going to testify on Monday in a transcribed hearing under oath, that's bad news for Biden. And so they've got to change the subject.
And by the way, when they say a transcribed interview, I'm assuming that means there will be no video of it at all?
No, so it'll be done at the staff level. So you will have House investigative staff asking the questions, but it will be under oath. It will be transcribed. And so, obviously, I mean, Devin Archer knows how this game works. He knows how the shady business influence peddling scheme was done. And he can point the investigators in the right direction. So that'll be very important. And it wouldn't surprise me if information from that hearing started to come out pretty quickly after it happens on Monday.
Well, with the original plea bargain, the sweetheart deal, blowing up in the face of Hunter Biden, what comes next there?
Well, it wouldn't surprise me if the Department of Justice, I mean, they got egg on their face that they even made this horrible deal. I mean, it's really rare for a judge to reject a plea deal like this. So that just tells you how bad of a deal that Biden's Department of Justice did this. And so they'll go back to the drawing board, try to come up with a new plea deal that will basically get past this judge. And I love how the left is already saying, well, it's a Trump appointee. It's a Trump appointee for the judge. Don't let them, like, snooker you with this, because both of Delaware's Democrat senators recommended this judge. And so, yes, Trump appointed her, but she sailed through with massive bipartisan support because the state's two Democrat senators said this should be the judge.
Mark Lotter joining us. You mentioned debates, and the first debate will be August 23rd in beautiful Milwaukee, Wisconsin, one of my favorite places. Should Trump debate? I mean, he's up by like 30 points nationwide.
Well, my suggestion would be that he not debate. Now, I know he loves to scrap and he loves the stage, but why would you put yourself up there to be the target for the 8 or 9 other people who are going to be qualified for the debate when really this is going to come down to basically, well, just him, but maybe 1 or 2 people could try to challenge him. So what I would do is let the kids' table weed themselves out and then debate later down the stage. He'll definitely debate. It's just a question of, are you going to get up there with 8 or 9 people, most of whom have no shot at it, or are you going to take out the final 2 or 3 remaining that may pose an outside chance?
Let me just ask you, of the other candidates that are out there, none are really polling that well. Donald Trump's got a huge, huge lead. Is there anybody there that you think is a legitimate challenger to the king, to Donald J. Trump?
Well, as things look right now, no. I don't think anybody is going to be able to catch him. And I think that just shows you the strength that he has in the party. But, I mean, we have many great candidates. What a great bench we have compared to the other side. But I'm really impressed with Tim Scott, Senator Tim Scott's doing great work. Vivek Ramaswamy is, you know, kind of that outsider who's really the only one right now who is increasing in the polls other than Donald Trump. And then we're really just watching a slow implosion of the DeSantis campaign. They were failure to launch, and now they're just showing on a daily basis that they're really not ready for prime time.
And when should candidates start throwing in the towel? I mean, at what point, other than running out of money, which always happens to candidates, when should that process begin?
Well, I think you'll probably see it by the end of the year. Some of them will get out probably in December. I mean, they're all going to try to go for a couple of debates, see if they can catch fire, see if they can catch any kind of momentum. If they don't see that momentum start to develop, then they're going to start running out of money. And I would assume that most people, there will be a few that'll have the resources to be able to survive and make it to Iowa. But I think most of the people will be gone by then. A couple will try to stake their claim to Iowa. And then by the time we get to Super Tuesday, it's basically going to be done.
So in other words, our Nevada state presidential preference primary, which is coming up February 6th, we may not see all those candidates by then?
I would be surprised. I would think by then you're only going to have maybe a handful at most, because obviously for those, you know, if someone catches fire, and really presidential primaries are all about momentum, so who can finish an unexpected third, or which candidate who was supposed to be second really didn't do that well. So if someone catches fire in Iowa, they'll try to capitalize on it in New Hampshire. And if that doesn't happen, then they'll start to drop off pretty quickly. And then by the time we get to South Carolina, obviously you're going to have two candidates who are from South Carolina. So that could change the dynamic a little bit. And then Nevada, and that'll probably be the end of the road.
I probably should have asked you this a long time ago, but the America First Policy Institute, what is it? What's the mission statement?
So we are basically the think tank behind all of those successful policies from the Trump administration. We have 8 former cabinet-level officials, 20 White House senior staff, 50 administration senior advisors, the people who are actually in the agencies, in the White House, fighting next to Donald Trump. And what we're doing is basically writing the playbook for the next America First candidate, the next America First administration. So when they take office, hopefully on January 20th, 2025, they will know all the lessons learned from us. They will also know exactly what you need to do on day one, month one, year one, to undo the damage of the Biden administration and start getting back to those things that worked.
Mark, if folks want to reach out to you, if they want to find out more about what you're up to, where do they go?
You can follow me at mark_lotter on Instagram, Twitter, or follow us at AmericaFirstPolicy.com.
Mark, it's great to have you on. Thanks so much. Be careful out there, and we will talk again soon.
Sounds good, my friend.
There you go, Mark Lotter, the Chief Communication Officer for the America First Policy Institute, the former Special Assistant to President Donald J. Trump. Stick around. More to do as we continue. This is a Friday, and of course on Friday there's usually a lot of breaking news, and so there is. There are more criminal charges against Donald J. Trump that's been added on to the Mar-a-Lago document deal. It's so unfair, so incredibly unfair. Stay where you are. More to do as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ.
The IRS is hiring 87,000 new agents. It's not a matter of if, but when you or your small business will be audited. Hey, Mike Rasmussen here. You need to be prepared when the notice arrives. That's why you need my friends at RevRex. It's revenue reconciliation made easy. When the IRS audits you, they access third-party databases such as your credit cards, banks, and your point-of-sale system to find underreported income. In many cases, though, that income is not underreported. How do you prove it? RevRex. As a small business owner, you make a buck, you report that buck. Don't let the IRS or any tax agency estimate your bucks. RevRex does not replace your CPA. It's an online tool to assist you and your CPA before you hear from the IRS. Beat the IRS to the punch. Get your data. Get protected. Get RevRex. That's R.